something?
I think we're.
Oh, right here. Oh, you got one? Okay.
Then we're good.
All right. I forgot to hit the record button, so we're going to do prayer all over again. I'm just kidding. And then there's not a lot of real estate up here, so forgive me, because I'm going to use my phone for scripture references if I read it. Anyways, we're going through Disciple Making Parent for those of you that are want to kind of connect the dots with the resource. And today's chapter or discussion is going to be around equipping your children. The chapter is on for godly friendships. I'm going to kind of start with godly relationships and then narrow down into what is it a godly friendship looks like. And just to kind of put some things into perspective, you know, we know God's word is sufficient in all things. We know that God's word gives us direction and instruction on how to handle some of these things. But I felt the need to just kind of say, there's probably a lot of you that are a lot further along than Gene and I when it comes to like the parenting aspect. Our daughters are 10 and 12. Some of you have teenagers. Some of you are young adults that are living in your home. The Lord has even graciously brought Kaylee into our life when she was a teenager. She is now older. But there are still parenting aspects in there and counseling and wisdom aspects in there as well. And so today we're going to talk about, you know, what does it mean and how does it look like to equip your children for godly friendships, ultimately starting with godly relationships. And really, I identified the purpose to help us understand the biblical foundation of friendships and learn how to disciple our children in forming and maintaining these godly, Christ-centered relationships. And so really, we're taking this entire lesson from the text, Proverbs 13, verse 20, where it says, "Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm." And many of you, you know, maybe like me, you know, you grew up probably hearing your own parents telling you, "Hey, these are good friends, these are bad friends, or you shouldn't hang out with this person. This person's probably a good influence in your life." Your parents essentially probably knew the good, the bad, the ugly, and kind of whose house you could probably go over and hang out with, and whose homes where they kind of hesitated, and they were like, "Hey, maybe they should probably come to our house." But I remember a time I had a group of friends, and this was a while back, it was probably middle school, and these group of friends and I, we thought it was a great idea to try to purchase the ice cream truck that was right around the neighborhood. And we thought it was a good idea to purchase the ice cream truck with $100 pesos instead of $100 American bills. And we thought this because the ice cream driver owner was Middle Eastern. So in our minds, we thought, okay, he's not going to know. He's not going to know the difference between any of this. So we had this grand idea of trying to purchase this ice cream truck for $100 in pesos. It didn't go according to plan. Like, things kind of blew up on us. A lot of things I'm not proud of that happened there. But at the end of the day, I share that story is because that group of friends influenced me. That group of friends, there was no one there that said, "Hey, is this a good idea? Have you thought through all of these things?" I didn't have that type of influence when I was growing up. Professionally, you know, I've always been told you're the average of the sum of five people that you hang out with, right? Kind of whatever that means. And in the same way, we are all influenced by relationships that we have, right? Whether it's at work, whether it's at church, extracurricular activities, there are people in our lives that are influencing us in one way or another. And I think really the question for us as parents to really consider this morning is, what are some of the biggest influences on your children's character and decisions right now? Another question I wrote down is, how have friendships, whether they are good or bad, how have they shaped your own walk with Christ, right? If you think through those over time. And I think it's important for us to remember, we were made for relationships, right? At the beginning of time, God said it was not good for us or man to be alone. We get that from Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. So he gave us relationship. He gave us helpmate. Eve was created. And if you think about it, much of what we have to gain, learn, and experience from healthy relationships is really a reflection of the kind of connection God wants us to have with us, right? He shows us a glimpse of himself through some of the people that he puts in his life or in our life. And so not only that, but we also have an opportunity as parents, and your children do as well, but we can be a tangible expression of God's love for people through how we interact with people, how we connect and we care for them just through our own relationships. And so what I'd like to do this morning with our time is answer a few questions around this topic and what the Bible says about relationships, but especially when it comes to friendships, to help us as parents kind of equip our children to think rightly about godly friendships. And so the question number one that I have there, if you're taking a look at those things or your handout, is what types of relationships do we see in the Bible? You know, and God has designed us for community, right? And there's different kinds of relationships. Each serve kind of its own unique purpose. And there may be others that are outlined in the Bible, and we can kind of chime in on that if you want to. But I put some high-level, obvious ones, right? So there's family relationships that we see in the Bible. We see parents and siblings, and we see the Scripture speaking to this. So in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9 gives us an example of that. That's the one where you teach your children day and night. And then we see an example of family relationships and the design of this through God in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Another relationship that you see in the Bible is friendships. And we're gonna kind of unpack this, but we see friendships. And the obvious one I thought of was David and Jonathan. And that friendship is talked about throughout Scripture, but you can see 1 Samuel 18 through 20 begins to kind of highlight that friendship. I'm sure there's other examples we can all think of. Another type of relationship that I'm pulling out of the Bible that I see is mentoring and discipleship relationships. The biggest example I can think of is Paul and Timothy and what that looks like. So there's 2 Timothy 2:2. A mentoring discipleship. And then there's the relationship of marriage that we see throughout Scripture, beginning with Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 2. There's all kinds of different marriages that we can probably point to throughout Scripture, from Old Testament to New Testament. But ultimately, we also see the marriage of Christ and the church, right? And that example is in Ephesians chapter 5, right? So there's that relationship. And then I see what I'm calling acquaintances or neighbor relationships throughout Scripture. And I'm just pulling from the example from Luke chapter 10, verse 25 through 37, of the example of the Good Samaritan, right? And again, there may be some other relationships that are identified there, but what's interesting, as I was preparing this, right, and I'm just posing this rhetorical question, is that there isn't an example of girlfriend-boyfriend, right? And so I think it's important as we think through these things, eventually, as you're talking about relationships, godly friendships, as parents, the question around dating and what that should look like, I think challenges us to really, as a couple, think through what is that going to look like for our children? What is that timing going to look like? What are our expectations of those things? What are your teenagers, adult kids, how do they view that relationship, right? And that's probably a whole nother lesson for us to kind of dive into. But it was just interesting to me. You don't really see that. You see a courtship. You see people preparing for marriage. You see the guy going off preparing for marriage and then eventually the marriage. But through all this, right, the most important relationship that we see in the Bible is with Christ, right? Once this happens, that relationship with the Lord occurs, we know this relationship will ultimately spill over into these other types of relationships. And so as we think about how to equip our kids for relationships, we need to focus on the most important relationship, which is with Christ. And so, you know, we kind of mentioned a couple weeks ago, there are probably three types of children we're discussing here. There may be non-believing children that we have. There may be believing children who are not acting like believers. Or we may have believing children who are acting and they have a desire to please the Lord and they're growing and maturing. In each of these categories, we all know as parents, friendships are going to occur. They're going to happen one way or the other. And so the book in this chapter even points this out and assumes that we will all have friends and we're all going to have some type of social interactions as a result of being made in the likeness of the triune God. And so the takeaway is it's built in us. Like God has built this in us of relationship. So now it's a matter of doing it God's way and seeing it God's way. And how do we help bring all that together with our kids as we're building those relationships with them? All right, question number two that I have here as we think about this is what does the Bible say about friendships? And the book mentions most people define friendships as this, a mutually supportive and affectionate relationship. And then the author goes on to say, but they always miss the second part, a relationship around some interest. And so he adds that to there. And then he quotes C.S. Lewis, and so I'm going to quote C.S. Lewis here from the book. It says, C.S. Lewis has stated it this way, friendship must be about something, even if it were only an enthusiasm for dominoes or white mice. Those who have nothing can share nothing. Those who are going nowhere can have no fellow traveler. So in other words, friendships exist where there's something for the friendship to ultimately be about. That's why those who just want friends just to have friends find it so difficult to build friendships. And so what our children need and what all of us need are gospel friendships, supportive relationships built around Christ, his kingdom, and his holiness. What we hope for is an affectionate relationship that has a love for Christ at its deepest core. So ultimately, that's the commonality, the interest there. And so let's look at some of these verses that help us think about, you know, how do we choose our friends? These verses can help us be really intentional with making sure we have the right friends, right? And so if you're thinking through how do we sit down, talk to my teenager, my adult child, I've got some verses here. So Proverbs 12:26, it says, the righteous choose their friends carefully. And so there's great wisdom there, counsel straight from Scripture. Proverbs 13:20, he who walks with the wise will be wise, but the friend of fools will suffer harm. Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. And then here's one, right? We've all heard our parents say this in some way, shape, or form. We didn't realize they were quoting Scripture, but 1 Corinthians 15:33, bad company corrupts good morals. John 15:13-15, Jesus calls his disciples friends. So that says something there. So if Jesus says, these are my friends. Hebrews 3:13, it says, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it's still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. So we see encouraging one another as we think about our friends. Hebrews 10:24, it says, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. And so we see the example of Christ choosing and being very intentional with his friends. He went out and he chose the 12 disciples. And so if you want to read a little bit more about that, I mean, you can pick that up in Mark 3:14, John 15:15. And if you think about the 12 that Jesus calls his friends and you kind of narrow it down, he also had Peter, James, and John, who he was much closer with, right? Maybe call that a smaller group, maybe. Accountability partners. And then he had others like John, who I am, my own opinion, I'm just likely was his best friend. Because Christ says, John in whom I loved, right? John 13:23. So there's a different type of relationship between Christ and John, Christ with Peter, James, and John, and then ultimately the 12. And so Christ was intentional in how he chose his friends and the disciples in which he chose. And so I think that's helpful for us, but I believe the Bible goes even a little deeper, and I believe the Bible provides a little more clarity as to the types of friendships, the types of good friends, right? And I think as Christians, we should work on developing these types of friendships. I've got three. There may be more, right? Some of you that are a lot smarter than me, but the three that I came up with that I think we should develop as Christians, I wrote mentors, peers, and disciples, right? So mentors are godly people who have gone before us and show us the way, right? And so that's a form of friendship. And Jesus does this and mentions this in John chapter 13, verses 1 through 20. Another example of friendships that we should develop are peers. So wise companions and friends who walk beside us. I'm pulling that from Proverbs 13, verse 20, which is essentially the theme verse for this chapter. And then the third is disciples. So developing these friendships are those of the younger generation that we train and serve. And just pulling this example from Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 1 is why we do ministry. Titus chapter 2 is more about how to do ministry. And essentially, naturally, right, as parents, we're probably going to have the opportunity more so with the disciples, right, training the next generation. And some of us may have other opportunities where we're training the next generation outside of just our children. But all this to say is we need godly friends. People who mentor us, people who walk beside us as peers through the thick and the thin, and people we watch out for in the next generation to encourage them and move them along in their walk. And these relationships, they can be one-on-one relationships, they can be small group relationships. The Bible gives us these examples. So how do we take these examples and begin to help our children understand this and cultivate in them what biblical friendship looks like? And that's really, right, a plug for fellowship groups, I think, in this part right here, is that if you're not a part of that, like this is a good way to begin to develop that peer. And maybe there's a mentor that comes out of that. Maybe there's a disciple piece that comes out of that. But ultimately, that's kind of the vision and the purpose of being a part of that fellowship group. So these godly friendships can at least begin to develop and the conversation starts. I think also here, as we continue to talk through this second question about what biblical friendship looks like and what the Bible says, I think the Bible gives us a pretty good picture of what good friends are. The truth is, we were not meant to do life all by ourselves. We weren't meant to do life alone. That goes against God's design. And so if we are made in the image of God, we reflect something of the Trinity. And in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, it gives us a glimpse of this holy community between the Trinity, right? And he says, God, and here's what it says, God says, let us, plural, make man in our image. So the plural pronouns give us the first indication that God is not singular in nature, but plural. And so together they agree to create humanity. And friendships is not merely a human value. We value it because it's the basis of relationship between the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We reflect his image in our relationships as we link arms to serve and love one another. And I think that's essentially where the chapter is helping us as parents connect those dots right there, is understanding that design, that relationship, and what we are to be pouring out to our children, and then ultimately peers, mentors, and whatnot. And then this next section got kind of interesting, only because I asked my girls, what do you think the purpose of good friends are, right? And so some of that's here, but eventually, you know, here's some thoughts I wrote down. But I think the Bible helps us understand why and the purpose of having good friends. And in fact, Genesis chapter 2:18 goes even further and tells us that friendships are essential. They're not optional, because it goes on and it says, it is not good that man should be alone, right? We are not intended to live in isolation. We all know that. Nothing good comes out of that. And this is a key feature of being human, right? Relationship with God, and then ultimately relationship with others. And so not only are we to live in community, we are, and I'm going to give you guys some scriptures here, but we are to live in communion with a larger body of believers, right? So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 30 kind of reminds us of that. We are to live in communion with a larger body. It also says here, we interact with each other, and in doing this, we sharpen each other, right? We have conversations, we're encouraging one another, and we build up one another. And I'm pulling this from Proverbs 27:17. And then also the building up of one another, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. And then additionally, believers work together to build up the body of Christ to maturity. And so we read that in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 12 through 13. So there's this idea of you're to belong in a group, a local body, and you are to be building and encouraging one another up, right? And so how do we take that design that God has, that purpose of good friends, and how do we help our kids essentially duplicate that and live that out? And so if I had to summarize all these verses, you know, the purpose of friends, you know, ultimately they provide us with companionship. They support and they stand with us in difficult times. They even challenge and hold us accountable for the behavior, our bad behavior, or even some of the sin that we might display. But like anything, right? However, you know, maintaining and keeping these friendships healthy and thriving isn't really an easy thing to do, right? And so I'm sure we've all have memories of even our own times where we've disappointed a friend or we've taken them for granted. And so I think it's even important for us to recognize that if our children do have these relationships, helping them understand just the blessing that those relationships are and helping them to continue to build upon those. All right, so let's move on to question number 3. It says, what are some bad examples of friendship in the Bible? And again, I'm sure there's probably more examples. This is just to kind of help you guys get the conversation started. But I thought of Samson and Delilah. Why was that a bad example? Pulling this from Judges chapter 16. I wrote down manipulation and compromise. Solomon's son, I think I'm saying his name right, Rehoboam. And his peers. Why was that a bad example of friendship? There was foolish counsel. There was pride. Pulling that example and that whole conversation out of 1 Kings chapter 12, verses 6 through 11. Job and his friends, right? The three of his friends, they begin to argue that Job's terrible suffering could only be the cause of his wickedness and his sin. They urged him to repent, wrongly assuming his affliction was a punishment for his hidden sin. So you can read that in Job 42, verses 7 through 9. And what's interesting is Job mentioned, and he calls his friends, you are miserable comforters, all of you. And he says that in Job 16:2. He tells his friends, you're miserable. You're a miserable comforter. And then another bad example I wrote was just Judas and Jesus. And I just wrote down, this was betrayal under the pretense of friendship. So someone acting like they're your friend, and at the end, they're not. They were in it for themselves. You can read a little bit more about that in Matthew 26, verse 47. And again, that question is just to help the conversation, either with your wife or your spouse, and your kids, just to, you know, where are your kids at when it comes to what are some good examples of friendship, bad examples. So question number 4 I have, what are some good examples of friendship in the Bible? Again, there's probably a lot of examples that you guys can pull out. Here's some high-level ones that most of our kids are probably going to be familiar with. But David and Jonathan, right? I wrote them down because there's an example of loyalty. There's an example of covenantal love there, sacrificial support. And you can read about this friendship in 1 Samuel verse 18 or chapter 18 verses 20. I thought about Ruth and Naomi, right? There's just this example of friendship, of just a commitment through hardship when times are tough, doing things that are hard. I'm pulling that out of the Ruth chapter 1, verse 16 through 17. Another good example of a friendship in the Bible, I thought of Paul and Timothy. What made this a good example? I wrote spiritual encouragement and discipleship. There was a relationship there where they could go to each other and encourage one another in the hard times. So 2 Timothy chapter 1. And then at the end, I wrote another good example of just Jesus and his disciples. Jesus and Peter being an example, right? Of just his patience and his forgiveness and his enduring, even when Peter seemed to not have it all figured out. But why did this make a good example? I wrote there's a lot of love there. There was truth-telling. Ultimately, the disciples, they shared a mission. That's what they all had in common, was they were all pulling in the same direction for the kingdom of God. And so I think it's important to ask ourselves and maybe sit with our children and ask them, what made these examples good and what made them bad? And how can we help our children either cultivate some of these similar patterns or eliminate, you know, maybe some of the bad examples of what made it a bad example? But Proverbs 22, verse 24 through 25 says, "Make no friendship with a man given to anger, lest you learn his ways." And so, like I mentioned with my story in the beginning, all friendships involve mutual influence, whether it's good or bad. Either your child will shape their friend's character, or their friend is going to shape theirs. And so I think if you think about that, they're going to get it from somewhere. Why not be the source and the resource of, like, you're giving it to them of what it needs to look like? Otherwise, they're going to pull it from the world. Another thing I wrote in this chapter that the author quotes, and I think he makes a great observation, and I can appreciate what he said here. And we all need to consider this and be okay with this. And here's what he says. He says three different things. He says, there are different levels of friendships. There's acquaintances, there's casual friends, there's associate friends, and then intimate friends. And he goes on and just basically says, hey, be friendly to everyone, but be a friend to some. Right? And so that's really what he was driving at. And this reminded me when I was being discipled in college, when I got saved, I was reading a book by J.C. Ryle called Thoughts for Young Men. And he pulls out in that book, you know, do you know the difference or what makes a friend? And he basically says, a friend is someone who looks after your soul. Everything else is just an associate. But a friend is someone who looks after your soul. They have your soul top priority. Here's another observation he wrote that I can appreciate. He says, friendships change. Sometimes they increase, sometimes they decrease, sometimes they get stale. We need to allow for the ebbs and flows of friendships, right? Another observation that I can appreciate that he said, everyone has limited capacity for friendships. And every person has a different capacity for the number of friendships. Right? Some of us may already be at our limit, and some of us may be willing to take on more relationships. But, you know, as we think about how we should prepare our kids for godly friendships, you know, I think we should ask ourselves, who are the main influencers in our children's life? Are they their friends? Is it social media? Is it a coach? Is it a teacher? And how can you help your child be a godly friend? How can you help cultivate that? All right, question number five I have here is how to teach your children to discern friendships. Or maybe that should have been reworded a little different, but ultimately, how do we teach our children to discern friendships? And I think it starts with us as parents setting the example of who our friends are and what influences us, what's driving our thoughts, our behaviors. And then we need to know the scriptures. We need to be rooted in different illustrations from the Bible to help our children think about their decisions. This is how we can teach and equip them to evaluate friendships through a biblical lens and not just the emotional connection. And so it starts with us kind of just identifying, and that's really the heart behind my outline as I was thinking through this, was like, where would I start? Where have I start? And where would I continue to go as I'm helping my 12-year-old and my 10-year-old think about these things? But I wrote on there some things to help our kids, but even ourselves. You know, does this friend encourage me towards godliness or away from it? And we can pull that from Proverbs 27:9. You know, is this friendship honest and trustworthy, right? Are there examples that your child or we can pull from that? Or maybe there was the temptation to be dishonest, but that didn't happen. But Proverbs 24:26 helps us. Do we share similar values and purpose? Like, what's the connection there? Why? What interests do they have? What's the value? What's their purpose? Amos 3:3 kind of helps us with that. Does this friend speak truth and love even when it's hard? Right? Ephesians 4:15. And so I wanted to kind of outline a little bit. But there are a lot of good benefits of having good friends. And I'm sure some of us in here have benefited from that because we either have those relationships now or we've been a part of some of those relationships. But I wanted to take a moment to just encourage us and remind us, as we're encouraging our kids to foster godly relationships and good friendships, there are a lot of benefits to that. And here's just a handful that I wrote down. But these friends, they can help us tackle sin, because it's a safe place to confess sin, right? Your child may not necessarily want to come to you in every aspect of confessing a particular sin, but if there's a friend, or maybe there's another adult family friend that's around, they may be willing to do that. Another benefits of good friends, they are honest, who will pray with you in the midst of temptation. That's a good benefit. They help us with our commitments to work out repentance, to work through the repentance part, to help us develop new patterns of faith. That's the benefit of a good friend. They're helping us think through these things. Ultimately, the benefits of good friends is the friends are going to provide wise counsel. They're going to point us to the gospel. They're going to point us to Christ. And then last, I wrote, good friends help us live out the gospel. Right, so they're helping us preach the gospel to us as well as to themselves. They remind each other of God's story. And so if you get back to the relationship with Christ and his disciples and just familiarize yourself with all those conversations, that's ultimately what's coming out of here. That's ultimately what's being pulled out of here. So there's a lot of good benefits of that. And then this last one is, what does the Bible say about good characteristics of a godly friend? And I'm not going to go through every single one of these, but I have it outlined on there. Love, Jesus said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. A godly friend loves sacrificially, not for what they can gain, but because Christ first loved them. And so these are things we can help our children with. Faithfulness. Proverbs 17:7, a friend loves at all times and a brother is born for adversity. A godly friend stands firm through trials, showing loyalty that reflects God's covenant. Truthfulness, Ephesians 4:15, someone who speaks the truth in love. We are to grow in this way. So godly friends will tell us the truth, even when it's hard, because they care more about our holiness, they care more about our soul than they do about comforting us. Another characteristic I wrote was encouragement out of 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up. A Christ-like friend uses words to strengthen us, faith, and point us back to God's promises. Humility, another good characteristic from Philippians 2, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. A godly friend is not self-centered, but Christ-centered, seeking to serve rather than to be served. Another characteristic I wrote down was forgiveness. Bear with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgive each other as the Lord has forgiven you. Friendships last, I think, when grace flows freely and forgiveness is there, because the gospel teaches us to forgive just as we've been forgiven. And then the last characteristic I wrote was just wisdom and discernment. Again, coming from Proverbs 13:20. I think a godly friend chooses companions who help them grow in wisdom and guards against those who draw them towards sin. And kind of getting back to my introduction, professionally, I've always been told you're the average of the five people you hang out with. So if you've got your friends hanging out with people that are spiritually more mature and they're walking a little bit faster and further with them, that's only going to pull them up. Or switch it around, and if they're that friend, then you're teaching them how do you pull your friends up with them. And then the last one here, the last question says, what does the Bible say about growing and being a good friend? And I've got a bunch of Proverbs there. I just encourage you guys to go through there. But starting with bullet point number one, this is just basically saying a friend spends time with one another and they don't smother them, right? Sometimes friends can overstay their welcome, or maybe they're hanging out too long. A friend is sensitive and considerate, Proverbs 25:20. Proverbs 17:7, a friend likes and accepts his friends, loving at all times. Here's a good one, Proverbs 18:13, a friend listens. Proverbs 27, actually when I was reading through this, Proverbs 27 and 17, we should probably all just know, because that's where most of these are from. But Proverbs 27, verse 6 and 9, a friend gives good counsel and even wounds at times. And then 27:17, a friend challenges us to be better people. 27:17, Hebrews 3:13, a friend encourages us to become more like Christ. And then Proverbs 17:7 again, a friendship helps out in trouble. Proverbs 27:2, a friend doesn't boast or brag. 17:9, a friend covers an offense and doesn't gossip. Proverbs 17:9, a friend forgives. So all of that to say, maybe homework, something for you to think through, Proverbs 27, Proverbs 17. He essentially is highlighting both of those proverbs and pulling a lot of these ideas of what does it mean to grow in being a good friend. And I think that's where we can use God's scripture to help us as we're training and discipling our children and equipping them for friendships. And so in closing, right, before our children can ultimately form godly friendships, they must first know the greatest friend and have the most important relationship, which is with Jesus Christ. So, and to encourage parents who may have children who aren't believers, that's where it starts first. It's just your relationship with the Lord. You need to just continue to disciple that with those children and show them what Christ is. Point them to Scripture. A heart transformed by the gospel will naturally begin to reflect the character of Christ towards others, right? And so everything we just described doesn't just happen. An individual can't just do these things. It's the Spirit that's changing them. It's the Spirit that's growing them. And ultimately, they are, you know, putting off these characteristics of who Christ is. Godly friendships grow out of a personal relationship with Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit shaping our character to be more like His. And so I know I probably went a little overboard with the questions. Again, so it's not overwhelming. These questions are designed to just get the conversation started with you and your spouse. They are not designed for you to go through all of these here today. Maybe this is something you and your spouse want to talk through over these next couple weeks. These could be some questions that you sit down with your kids, regardless of where they're at, and have them identify some of these things. The goal and my desire with the outline was to, you know, kind of have a starting point and ending point of how would I have this conversation with my children if they're not believers. I'm sorry, not believers, but they're believers, but they're not acting like believers. And maybe you identify some of the characteristics that aren't pleasing to the Lord, or encouraging them to be more like Christ with the people that are around them. So they're always going to be in one of those type of roles, right? And I just remember my dad telling me when I played sports, he always told me, someone will always be better than you. And he said, learn from them. And then he said, there's always going to be someone worse than you. Teach them, right? And so I think that's where we're at with this group, is try to identify also with your child, where are they? Are they the ones that are, they got to learn? Is that you? Is that another godly friend? Or are they the ones having to pull some people up to solidify those things? So I'm going to close us in prayer, and then we can discuss those questions here. And then we got a few more minutes before we break. But Father in heaven, Lord, we're thankful for this time. Lord, we're thankful that you have designed marriage, you have designed family, you have designed parenting in a way that brings glory to your name. Lord, we know because of the fall, because of sin in our own hearts and even in our children's heart, that that is what's broken. That's what keeps us separated. That's what keeps the lack of unity, harmony, and peace in all of the relationships that we've discussed here today. Lord, I just pray that you would be with us as parents, because our desire in our heart is to please you in our parenting, but ultimately our children, the next generation, understand how to build these friendships. Lord, we know ultimately nothing can be done without a personal relationship with Christ. So help us parent our children towards that. Lord, help us walk away from here with tools to use so that there can be just a deeper understanding and an appreciative of the blessing of good friends. And we pray this in your son's name. Amen.